Welcome to Episode Party, a podcast where we talk about some of our most favourite podcasts. I'm Freddie Harrison, and today I am joined, as ever, by my co-host, Mr. Jack Tutor, and our special guest today, musicologist and co-host of Switched On Pop, Mr. Nate Sloan. Hey, Nate, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Good. Thank you so much for coming on. As we've mentioned on more than one occasion on our previous episode with Daniel Duke, but also just now, that we're big fans of Switched On Pop, so it's a real pleasure. Jack, you were up first this episode with your recommendation. Tell us a little bit about Weird Work.
Sure. Yeah, so Weird Work is a podcast I found relatively recently. It's a podcast hosted by a guy called Sam Balter, who speaks to people about their unusual jobs. So each episode is titled in a way where it's in quote marks and it's like, I do this. And I think the titles was what grabbed me originally, because you've got titles like, oh, I press human ashes into records, or I write dinosaur and monster erotica, or I'm an LSD microdosing coach. And I was like, okay, let's get to know these guys. So he's not someone I've heard of before, and actually I was kind of surprised after hearing him talk. He sounded like quite a seasoned podcast guy. Maybe he has done other podcasts. I know that he works in at this sales and marketing company called HubSpot. And he's an endearing guy, and he gets these people on side quite quickly. So basically he sits down with them and they have a chat for about half an hour about their weird job. So it's not actually that long. Like, half an hour in terms of interview podcasts is quite condensed, but they seem to open up pretty quickly. And I think he straddles this really good line between acknowledging the absurdity of their occupation. I mean, it is a podcast called Weird Work, but there's a sincere interest there. And also, I think it's key that it's an interview podcast, because I think the other option was to do like a documentary thing where, you know, they go behind the scenes of, you know, being a monster erotica writer or whatever. But I think what's important is that the interview format allows the guest to control their narrative, and it's more focused on allowing them to explain their occupation and why they're so attached to it. And actually you get to the end and the job feels often less weird and more relatable by the end of it, which I think is quite a nice quality. I mean, there's one on the episode which is called I'm a Professional Cuddler, where, I mean, the ultimate message this woman has is, you know, the predominant culture around touch and conflating that with sex is weird, not me. And you're like, yeah, fair play. But the episode I picked out for us to listen to as a recommendation is called I Make ASMR Videos. So I'm quite curious about ASMR, because I'm fascinated by it, but I don't really understand it. And basically, if anyone's unfamiliar, it's this phenomena of having pleasant tingles from particular sounds or forms of touch, I think, as well. And so there are these videos where people are like bouncing ping pong balls or crinkling candy wrappers, and they're generally whispered in this really intimate way. And Sam speaks to this woman called Heather Feather, I think. Mm-hmm. And the interview felt really thorough. I mean, they go into the phenomena itself, her process of making videos, the sense of community across the people who make these videos, but also some of the tougher aspects of it as well. I mean, her stalkers and their strange narratives that they build for themselves. And also, I mean, one thing that I really was intrigued about is that line between ASMR and fetish as well, because I think for anyone who's not familiar with this whole phenomenon like me, it's like, okay, so where does that line reside? And I think you come out the other side feeling like you have a greater idea about that. Not all of them are as good as this one. I mentioned that Monster Erotica one. I think that missed a big opportunity to get deeper into the subject itself. It kind of became a what's it like being an author in the age of Amazon kind of thing, which I was like, well, that's definitely not the most interesting aspect of this, but I enjoy it as a podcast, like I say. So I'd love to know what you guys think of it. Freddie, what do you reckon?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. It's one of these ones that's been on some of the discovery screens of various podcast apps recently, and I've kind of ignored it, not because I just want to look for weird stuff that's not on the discovery screens, but just because it's just not like jumped out at me. But having listened to that first episode that you recommended, I Make ASMR Videos, I really loved it. I love the way that there's no real there's no messing about. It's straight in there. It's straight into the good stuff. It's straight into the meat of the conversation. And I just feel like it's either very well edited, or the questioning by Sam is very well thought out, because there just doesn't seem to be a wasted moment in terms of the interview. I mean, you know, we've both done interviews as journalists, Jack, and you know when you do those things that you every now and then you can pursue a line of questioning that's a bit of a waste of time. You know, maybe it's something the person's not interested in, or they don't really have a lot to say about, and it's either incredibly well edited, which it may well be, or it's a combination of that and an incredible research and questioning by Sam, because I just feel like the way it goes, apart from your criticism just then about the Amazon stuff, but you know, the majority of what's being said is really interesting, and there's not really a wasted moment in them. And I listened to the ASMR one with Heather Feather, and then I actually listened to a couple of the others, the guy who's the LSD microdosing coach, I really enjoyed. So I really, really love it. I love how to the point it is and direct it is. And like I say, there's not a moment wasted. And I think that's what I like about it the most. And I feel like, you know, they're just interesting conversations. And but they're accessible as well. You know, these are by, you know, the nature of them, weird jobs. And the vast majority I don't really know anything about, but I felt like I understood them very quickly. And I didn't feel like I was like privy to a conversation which I didn't understand. It was, you know, I didn't overhear someone else talking to someone else about their job, which is effectively what actually happened. I felt like it was a conversation that happened with me in a way, and on a level that I can understand. I think that's, you know, real credit to Sam and how he's put together his interviews. I really, really enjoyed it. Nate, what did you think?
I similarly really enjoyed this episode. It was a subject that I maybe only knew as an acronym. I'm not sure I knew exactly what AMSR was, so it was very enlightening for me in general in that respect. And by centering on this one individual, Heather Feather, which is one of my favorite names ever. It the rapport that the host and she established, I think, really made this episode work. She was very candid. She was very revealing about the details, the joys, and the challenges of this very niche occupation she's found herself in. And it concluded with what I thought was a really lovely moment of the host and the guest actually creating their own whispery ASMR recording with light pen strokes and ping pong balls and glasses of water being tapped. And I was very engaged by it. I think I would listen to other episodes of this podcast, but it would be very dependent on what the career was and how intrigued I was by it. So I'm probably going to listen to the professional cuddler one you mentioned, because that sounds fascinating. But I don't know if the show itself is engaging enough where I would just listen to every episode, but I think I would listen to selective ones.
Yeah, no, totally. I think that's where I fall with it. I mean, I think, in fact, for you, Nate, the Pressing Human Ashes into Records one would probably be quite interesting, because I think there's a lot about, I think there's a strange line it draws between, like, I guess, grief and record production as well. And the collision between those is really interesting, I think. And it's, I don't know, it's something that this guy seems to have fallen into and is still grappling with himself to a certain extent. But it's, it's a winner, that one.
Okay, well, you've definitely piqued my interest.
Brilliant. Jack, I guess it's the same for you, isn't it? Where it's one of these podcasts where you can kind of happily go through and pick and choose different episodes.
Yeah, it is. Like I say, it's the titles that really got me on this one. So I haven't listened to that LSD micro coaching one yet, but the reason I flagged up that title at the beginning is because it's one I was like, ooh, because, you know, it's something you hear so much about. And, you know, I think the idea of an LSD microdosing coach as well, I think the coach bit is like that extra layer that I didn't know existed. I know people microdose, and there was that big Reply All episode about them doing microdosing. But yeah, I like that it's going a layer deeper than that. There's no longer really anything weird about the actual taking LSD, but don't spoil it for me, Freds. I guess I'll find out what the whole coach aspect is in due time.
I won't spoil it for you.
Thanks,
don't worry.
But appreciate it.
I imagine it's also a show that in some ways is as good as The Guest, because while it's called Weird Work, as you said, it's less about the weirdness of the work than what the uniqueness of it can tell you about the person who does it and the people who consume that work. It's more of an insight into people than like labor itself, right?
Yeah, I think, in fact, to draw like a really tenuous analogy to what you guys do, I think there's this subversion of expectation when you go in that you come with these bag of assumptions about something based on what you've read in the title of the podcast or the kind of cluster of facts that you already have. And the most interesting ones for me have been where people have gone, well, hang on, it's not really like that, or there's more going on here than you first realise. And in fact, a lot of the things that I'm dealing with here and grappling with are A, probably very similar to what you're doing at your job, but B, also very much based on the fact that those assumptions are like misguided and going, you know, that cuddling one is a perfect example. I mean, you can tell that the Sam Bolter guy is like coming from a place that I think a lot of people are, and he even says at one point that he's someone who doesn't like to be touched, and he has a strange relationship with that. And so clearly the idea of someone being a professional cuddler, he's like, I'm intrigued, and he doesn't shut down because he's skeptical. In fact, it opens him up and he's like, help me understand this. And I think that's really nice. We should go on to our next recommendation, and that's coming from you, Nate. If you'd like to introduce this wonderful podcast that I know is a bit of a favorite, but please tell us all about it.
Absolutely. So I've picked the podcast Mogul, which is produced by Gimlet Media and tells the story of the rise and fall of a hip-hop record executive named Chris Lighty. But that only captures some of the show, I think, because while it uses the biography of this figure who rose from poverty in the Bronx to becoming one of the most successful music executives in the country, at the same time, it's also telling the story of the rise of hip-hop, which neatly parallels this one individual is literally rising from the streets of the Bronx to becoming one of the most dominant cultural forces today. So I think it's a brilliant piece of audio storytelling in that way, in that it uses both a single person's story and twines it to the story of this hip pop musical evolution. In addition to that, I think what really makes it great is what I've learned is called in this radio business good tape. He has the host, who I'll talk about in a moment, has just the most engaging interviews with both hip hop luminaries like Warren G and also just everyday people from the neighborhood, but whoever he's talking to, you get access to this world in a really intimate way. And then the host is someone named Reggie Osei, who has his own podcast and used to be a lawyer in the hip hop industry. And in addition to having a great command of the music and the history of hip hop, he does something which I find so refreshing. He hosts this podcast without a hint of what you might call podcast voice. That is that flat, neutral accentless tone, which seems to coat so much radio, public radio, podcasting. He is just irrepressibly himself. He doesn't censor himself. He doesn't change his tone, even when he's talking to someone in an interview versus talking to you, the listener. It just brings a sort of directness and casualness, and seems so authentically within the world that he's talking about. And as a result, he's able to get interviews with people that, you know, I would never be able to communicate with these hip hop veterans in the way he is. He's of that world. So altogether, I would say it makes this this mini series, I guess, this podcast series, just something that I was binge listening to. I mean, I was totally hooked on this story, both for the narrative of the story and for the musical revelations contained within.
Wonderful. Freddie, what do you reckon?
Oh man, I was really happy, Nate, when I saw this was your recommendation, because this is definitely a podcast I wanted to talk about, but it's nice to talk about it with someone who has a musical background, especially. But I devoured this. I started listening to it long after it originally was released, so I think all, if not maybe a couple of episodes, were already out by the time I started listening, and to be perfectly honest, I just stopped listening to anything else, and my cue was just mogul the whole way down. And I you're right, it is partly the story and the story of Chris Lighty, which is a story I don't know very well. It's partly that, it's partly the brilliant kind of introduction to the rise of hip hop, which is fascinating in itself. And then the way that Reggie Ose has this command of the show and command of the music around it, and also his guests. And as soon as you said Warren G, I just, all of the Warren G moments came back to me. And I think that's great. I think it's so good that the person who's not the subject of the show can be so memorable. A guest that's effectively ancillary to the story is so memorable. And I think that's partly down to the way that Reggie is able to interact with him, and the way that he's included within the story as well. And I think, you know, beyond the actual kind of narrative arc of the story, the special episodes that have gone alongside them as this kind of, like, you know, more concentrated interviews and things like that are really wonderful. And it's just a really amazing show. And you know, I was very sad when I finished listening to it, because it was just such a pleasure to listen to over such a long period of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I'm just going to parrot both of you to begin with and say I saw it come up, and it took a while for me to cotton on to the fact that I should be listening to it. And then when I dived in, I listened to the whole thing within like 2 or 3 days. Just every moment I had to either be in my car or be out for a walk, I had this on. And yeah, it's just really, really masterful storytelling. And I think also you get the sense that it's really driven by, I mean, Nate, you mentioned the authenticity of the host, and I think his excitement and enthusiasm is absolutely bleeding through every aspect of this show. And like, there are moments where almost it feels like personal excitement more than any kind of narrative desire is dragging the story forward and really burrowing into the details. I mean, the first episode, it was great to listen back to this today and then delight in a lot of the moments that I mean, firstly, there seems to be a lot of really awesome foreshadowing, which I never really picked up on, obviously, going through first time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And then there's a bit where Reggie's talking with one of Chris's friends, Daryl, and suddenly they get into swapping tips on, like, how they used to keep their trainers clean as kids.
Oh, yeah.
And it gets dragged off for a moment where they're, like, swapping tips, and it's like, it just falls down this nostalgic hole, and it's so, so fun to follow them there, because you know that this guy is doing this because he is so incredibly excited about what he's doing, and sometimes it gets caught up in that. But then he also has this amazing way, for someone who is so clearly embedded in hip-hop, of conveying hip-hop and its evolution in such a relatable way. I mean, there's one bit in episode 3, and I had to dig it out again because it really stuck with me, where they're talking about the contrast that emerged between East Coast hip-hop and the stuff pioneered by Def Jam, and then the West Coast sound. And you've got the East Coast sound, which is harder and angrier, and then the West Coast sound is much more chilled because they're, and I quote, smoking that good weed. And it's just so beautifully illustrated in this thing where they crossfade between the sounds of the city, and then suddenly the beach fades up, and it goes between the two sounds. And it just stuck with me so much. Another thing that I think is worth mentioning is, and I don't want to spoil it, but obviously there's a controversial revelation in the latter portion of the podcast, and
right,
looking at the fact that I knew there were, I think, 2 episodes after this revelation came out, I was so curious to see how they would handle that and push the narrative forward. And I think what the podcast managed to do is find a way of moving on with the narrative without shrugging off the severity that obviously descended on the podcast at that moment, but also without things grinding to a halt there as well. I can only imagine it must be so difficult to find a way to then, I don't know, push forward and then wrap things up after you've hit that kind of discovery. Because I mean, the way that it's framed in the podcast is that it's something that emerges partway through actually recording the show, and
right,
they, I felt like from where I was, it felt like they did a really good job in finding a way through it. But yeah, so I love Mogul, and just listening to the first episode again makes me want to listen through the whole thing again. I mean, as you say, it's just wicked storytelling. It's so good.
And as someone who hosts a podcast that does music analysis, I was very impressed / jealous of the skill with which this podcast sort of explained some of its musical examples. The West Coast, East Coast one you mentioned in episode 3 being a great one. I also loved the, I think it was in this episode, this first episode that I recommended, where they basically take you musically through the evolution of the break and the first samples, yeah, and how those really defined the sound of hip hop. Mm. And it's something that goes from a term that you're familiar with to an origin story that that will, for me at least, like kind of forever change the way I think about this genre. I have one question, which is, it sounds like we all have at least some knowledge of hip hop and rap. Would someone who had no exposure to this music still enjoy this podcast?
In the last episode, we got asked whether people would like long form if they didn't have a basis in the creative industries. And I think it's such a difficult question, isn't it? Because you have to almost step outside yourself and think, okay, what if I was coming at this from a different angle? I mean, I think definitely, because it felt like one of those, and you know, Gimlet often does this quite well, where it takes something and goes, okay, so here's something you know nothing about, and really, it feels like maybe you have no reason to be interested in, and suddenly it draws a narrative which feels so, I mean, it's just, I think it's just a really beautifully, like, objectively nice narrative, regardless of the specialist interest in there. I think the music also is the driving force, but it's not the only force in there as well. I think there's so many different entry points into this story that I like to think that people would still enjoy it. And in fact, what you've reminded me to do is get my dad onto this, because he knows sweet FA about hip hop, and he would be the ultimate test, I think, of like whether, you know, if my dad likes this, then, you know, they've done a really good thing, clearly. What do you,
yes,
reckon?
Please report back.
Yeah, what do you think, Nate?
I'm inclined to agree. I was thinking part of what I enjoyed about the show is hearing these references to artists or groups that I know, and being surprised to find them in this narrative and the sort, and exposing the sort of network of these artists. But I think you're right. I think they were smart to tell this as a as a really, as I guess, I mean, it's not spoiling it to reveal that the protagonist of this podcast commits suicide at the end of it. Or sorry, I should say dies in mysterious circumstances, likely suicide. That's, you know, public knowledge. And as such, it sort of has a tragic arc to it. And it's really the story of a deeply flawed and deeply talented individual, and the music that he was both inspired by and helped foster. So I agree. I think you don't need to, my conclusion would be the same, that you don't need to have a hip hop knowledge in order to enjoy the show.
Yeah. I mean, Freddie, where do you stand on that? Because, I mean, this, obviously you really enjoyed this podcast as well. I think you have probably a bit more of a hip hop grounding than I do. But where do you stand on that?
I think that's very generous, Jack. I think that's a very generous...
I think you overestimated my understanding of hip-hop, but yeah.
I mean, I know hip-hop in the kind of periphery. It's not a genre of music that I visit regularly, but I do enjoy and appreciate it. And I think that minor appreciation from very much from the sidelines is what got me hooked on it. Because in the first episode, in the first, you know, few minutes, there's a lot of name dropping going on about all of the people who are at Chris Lighty's funeral. And of course, if you don't know hip hop, and even if you do, maybe, but especially if you don't, you hear all these big names, and then you hear that it's a funeral of a guy called Chris Lighty, and compared to these big names, you're like, well, who is this? And you know, but that, you know, that this must be someone special and important if they can bring together all of these big people, and that is my background to this, and I didn't know who Chris Lighty was, but I did know who all of the people were that he had involvement with. And that is what I found so fascinating, and that's what drew me in. And then, you know, as a bonus, I then get to find out about the origin story of hip-hop as well at the same time, and the evolution and the ascension of hip-hop as a musical genre. And so, for me, it started off as intrigue, and then it became, you know, something that basically gave me three different kind of educations at the same time, which I think is brilliant. I think it's a really, you know, it was so interesting as well. There are podcasts that I listen to that I know that I'm just trying to be fed knowledge, just constantly fed knowledge, and there are podcasts I listen to that are stories and also give me some kind of education at the same time, and I think they're excellent. So yeah,
top banana. And it has as well, like, the best theme. Like, the theme to this podcast is so good. And as soon as it comes in, just, like, the podcast kicks into gear. It's wicked. It's got those, like, dun, 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 and I'm like, yeah! Just winding down my windows. It's really good. So we've got one more podcast, and Freddie, you are the man what brung it. So would you like to tell us about it?
I can do indeed. This is actually a relatively new podcast on me, in the sense that I've maybe only listened to two or three episodes, but of the two or three episodes that I've listened to, I really, really enjoy it. So the podcast is called Ear Hustle. It actually is based and is produced out of San Quentin, which is incredible. I find that really, really interesting that this podcast comes out of a prison. It's very rare that you get anything produced in media form that comes out of a prison. You know, you get individual prisoners may write books or whatever else, but you know, I think I don't know personally of any radio or TV shows or anything like that that are produced in a prison that I would find particularly easily, that aren't quite niche. So I find the logistics of producing a podcast from within a prison particularly interesting. But what I really, really love as well about this podcast is that it shines a light on effectively, you know, almost like a whole ecosystem and a whole society that has a different set of rules that I'm not at all familiar with as someone who has never been in prison. And you know, San Quentin as well is a well-known place. It's not any prison. It's San Quentin, and I think that's really interesting in itself. And I wrote in the podcast document that my only kind of experience of San Quentin as a place is the video for Saint Anger by Metallica, which is my only, you know, and that's my only introduction to that kind of place. And but what I find really interesting, and I think the first episode that I recommended Sally's really sums up, is this kind of societal system and rules and like social norms that go on inside a prison that you wouldn't necessarily experience in real, you know, in outside as a not incarcerated person. I find, you know, obviously there are parallels between kind of, you know, having a cellmate and having a flatmate or living with other people or whatever else, but it is different. And, you know, each episode kind of shines a light on these different kind of societal issues and conundrums that happen from within a prison. And it's, you know, it's kind of opening up this new world to me that I, you know, wouldn't know about and wouldn't probably, you know, it's not, you know, if you're interested, you can't just walk into a prison and find out. So I find it in this sense very, very interesting. Jack, what did you think?
Yeah, it's really good. I think what's funny is I think the last episode of Episode Party, we were talking about a finalist of Radiotopia's PodQuest competition, which was me. And now we're actually talking about the winner, I believe, of that very same competition. It's, yeah, I mean, as you say, Freddie, it's really, I think it's so interesting to have this insight and to know how it's produced. And it did make me think at some points of the fact that you had something like Serial, which was largely underpinned by an interview with someone who was in prison. And there was always that sense of distance with Serial between, I've forgotten her name, Sarah, isn't it? Sarah Koenig on the outside.
Right.
And Adnan on the inside of prison, and you felt that Adnan was distant. And I think what's really interesting with this podcast is that you just feel like you're on the inside, and the interviews with people in prison I think are just so illuminating. And I have to say this, I mean, there's one part of it which doesn't gel with me, which is the format where you have a little interview and then you go back to the quote-unquote studio. And then the two hosts do a sort of back and forth, like, hey, what do you think about that? And there's a little quip there or something. And then they have to sort of steer the story over to the next bit, which, I don't know, always jars me. I think just as an uncomfortable English bloke, you know, I just feel like I want it to move on quicker than it does at all times. But, I mean, it's not a big gripe at all, because I think there's so much to derive from this podcast outside of that. I mean, there's a fascinating moment, and one that actually kind of really took me aback, where they're interviewing a guy who, you know, amidst all these talk of cellies and the fact that it's about finding a compatible cellmate and all of these stories about people who clash because they're not compatible, they get to talking to this guy who's in a cell on his own. And the way they build it up is so clever, because you're made to think, oh gosh, what a relief when you get that space to yourself. And in a sense, you kind of get that. But one of the first things the guy says is, yeah, it's, you know what, it's nice to come back to a cell on my own and just cry, because you can't do that.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh gosh, because also the line of her questioning is almost, you're expecting him to say, yeah, it's real nice to stretch out and, you know, I've got all that space just to read. And there's a sense of naivety in, I think, my expectation of what he was going to say. And I think that's so well played, and maybe something that they could only do by having someone who relates to the experiences of prison also involved in the production of this, because they don't make those mistakes of, I don't know, skipping over things which perhaps someone on the outside wouldn't understand. I listened to another one about the SHU, the security housing unit, which, speaking of isolation, is where you're alone and segregated from the rest of the prison population, and you don't have any books or TV or anything. And one of the things that came out of that is that these prisoners crave human touch. I mean, just, you know, just someone like poking their fingers through the grill and just touching their finger. That's something that people start to crave. Again, nothing that I could ever relate to or ever understand. And that's the kind of insight that's so crucial from this podcast. And I mean, there's one bit, and it kind of, for me, sums up where I feel about it, because it felt slightly scripted. But there's a bit in that Shoe episode where Nigel, the artist who's the person who comes in and works with these prisoners but also co-hosts this podcast, says, with regards to, I think, the whole thing of being in isolation, she was like, I can't wrap my head around this. And then the is it Erlon says, well, what are you doing after this tonight? And she's like, I'm going home. And he's like, well, yeah, that's why you'll never be able to wrap your head around this, which I think is amazing, and also grounds the podcast in this sense of, okay, so here's an insight, but also just know that you'll never be able to empathize fully. And that's what I really enjoyed about the podcast. It gives you a glimmer, but also it gives you the extent to which that you're not really stepping in anyone's shoes here. You're getting a very, very tiny taste of what it's like. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. Yeah, Nate, what do you reckon?
I was pretty blown away by this show, which I've heard of, but I was frankly really grateful for the for being forced to finally listen to it by, by joining you on this show, because it was one where I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to check that out soon. And I just kept putting it off. And then when I sat down and listened to this first episode, I immediately realized I'm going to be listening to the rest of this podcast. It's one of the few times where I'm listening to a show, I've actually felt that I wished it was longer, that it's 99% of the time it's the opposite. This, I totally agree with your assessments, and maybe even see a parallel that I didn't expect between my choice of Mogul and this show, both of which benefit from being hosted by actual insiders, literally in the case of Ear Hustle, people who are on the inside. And as a result, I think not only does it give you a perspective that some well-meaning reporter like Sarah Koenig from Serial would only be able to hypothesize about, it gives you another look at an institution that in the media, I think, is generally, at least over here in the States, it's just generally portrayed as a place of violence and sexual assault and corruption. And I'm sure I'll encounter those issues as well as I continue to listen to the show. But just to start the very first episode with what's not a particularly heavy topic, it's something that is very relatable to me as someone who's lived with roommates most of my life, picking a cellmate and getting along with your cellmate. And there's a lot of laughter in the episode, and there's a lot of humanity in the episode. And for me, it was just like pulling back a curtain on this prison experience and starting and getting the gears rolling in my head. How these are depicted in movies and television is not really what's going on the inside. So I'm 100% on board for Ear Hustle, and I'm grateful for you bringing it to the forefront of my podcast queue.
Excellent. That is what we like to do on Episode Party. usually it's the other way around. Usually someone brings something to me that I've never heard of or haven't got around to listening to, but I'm kind of glad I've done it for someone else. So this makes me happy. Yeah, thanks.
And the cycle will continue.
I'm sure of it.
We do a podcast about podcasts, Fred, so I hope we'd be able to at least impart one podcast at some point.
Keep trying. Just we can keep change. Trying.
Yeah. I mean, we should say as well, we're not embarrassed about it. I mean, we love your podcast. It's a really wonderful show that you do in Switched On Pop. I mean, one thing that always goes through my head when I listen to it is how you decide on when you've got a song that you want to cling on to and dive down into, because I mean, these are songs often that when I see them in the title of your podcast, I'm like, why are they picking that lumper? But you know, and then you listen to it and you're like, oh gosh, and again it comes up again and again, but you know, I'm struck by my own naivety and assumptions with these things. So yeah, how do you pick a song and go, right, this is one that we're going to dive into?
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you so much, and yeah, definitely go listen to that episode of Episode Party, because it's the best kind of breakdown of what our show does that I've come across. Answer your question, we have a very unscientific process in which we listen to the top 40 every 2 weeks. So we make a playlist and just listen to every the top 40 songs in the country. And then we take notes on them and discuss them and whittle it down to a few that seem to be really grabbing us. And then I think ultimately we'll pick the song we cover based on, often we'll look for something that's unique about it, or if not, its ability to illustrate some interesting musical concept that we want to talk about, or sometimes it will have a relevance to something happening in the wider world that we want to discuss. So I don't know if there's one metric we use for picking a song, but we sort of ease our way into it by doing a lot of listening and then sort of letting our ears whittle it down to a few candidates. I mean, what you'll discover if you do this, which I don't necessarily recommend, it's something of a masochistic exercise to listen to that much pop music all the time. you will discover, I celebrate pop music, but I'm not an apologist. You will discover that much pop music sounds almost identical, and sometimes it can be. I have that feeling you're describing of like, what is there anything of merit in this song? Is there anything of value? Is there anything in this song that can make me just not feel completely hopeless about our late capitalist, consumerist, corporatist, sludge world? But then, so you find that. You find some song that is just so... baldly commercial and craven, and you're like, oh, this makes me so sad about the world. But then you listen to it, and I think inevitably, the more you listen to something and you listen to it with open ears, you will find something to treasure there. You'll find something of value. And that's like been the most radical part of doing this podcast for me, is like forcing yourself to listen to these songs that you might have such a strong aversion to, and letting them speak to you. And or maybe I should rephrase that. Maybe I should say, often what I do is I try to imagine, what does someone listening to this who really likes this song get out of it? Rather than dismissing their enjoyment of the song, trying to what draws them to it? And can I find something, can I find that too? Can I, recognize something about another person that I wouldn't have noticed before because of the music they enjoy? Anyway, this is becoming a very cosmic explanation to a very simple question, but well, hopefully it was illuminating.
It's kind of in the spirit of the show, I feel. I think what's wonderful I find is that you don't, as you say, you're looking for what other people enjoy it in as well. So there's not like, okay, so, what the plebs are getting out of it is this. But if you look deeper, there's a real, it's kind of, yes, this is an awesome beat, or this is, an awesome vocal hook. And that's never cast out the window. And I love that, because, it's a great way, I think, of as well of checking yourself with pop music. It's just, it's okay yes. to like something and think that drum beat's awesome or whatever. But also, yes. you can plummet way down, and there may be an existential heart to Justin Bieber's biggest songs. It's great. I love it.
Wow, we really have converted you. I can tell.
Such a fan. It's been awesome to talk to you, Nate. Thank you so much for coming on Episode Party. It's been a real thrill.
Thank you so much for having me. This is really fun. I love Episode Party because it turns me on to good podcasts, and it's not nasty. I like that you celebrate shows rather than, excoriating them.
Yeah.
And not that you don't criticize them when warranted, but I don't know. I'm just maybe it's just the world we live in, but I'm just interested in discourse that's generous right now. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's good to hear. This has always been an aim. So it's good that it's coming across.
Yeah. I don't think we'd do it if we didn't love podcasts, right, Fred?
Yeah, exactly. Or it would be like episode, it couldn't be called Episode Party, it would have to be called Episode
Dedge. Yeah.
Episode Downer.
Yeah. I hate your podcast.
Episode Wake.
Yeah. Wow. This is, yeah, I'm really glad we didn't go down that route. Nate, if people want to find Switched On Pop, where can they find Switched On Pop?
You can find it on any podcast player. We were on Spotify as of just a few days ago. Ooh. Which is really exciting.
Awesome.
And you can check us out at our website, switchedonpop.com, or on Twitter at switchedonpop.
Where can people find us on the web, Freddie?
We are at episode_party on Twitter, and we are www.episode.party on the internet. And if you're listening to us, I'm going to assume you've already found where to find the podcast. So, yeah, that's us. Thanks very much once again. I've been Freddie Harrison. I've been joined, as ever, by Jack Tutor. And thank you very, very much, Nate. You have been an excellent guest, and it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you both.
We'll see you next time.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Freddie here. If you're enjoying Episode Party, please head over to iTunes and leave us a rating and review. It means a lot to us, and it really helps us out. Thanks.